You are listening to the RC Scale Builder Show on Warbird Radio. Now here is your host, Mike Chilson.
And welcome to the RC Scale Builder Show. Today is Tuesday, September 2nd, 2014, and I'm your host, Mike Chilson. Welcome back, everybody. This is our first show in about a year, so we're excited to be live again. Hope you're all, you know, listening to us live. If you're listening to us on the podcast, be sure and join us one Tuesday night when we're recording, and you can get involved. Couple of things going on before we get to our guest tonight. First of all, I want to let you know that we're going to be recording our live show about once a month, and I'll give you plenty of warning on the site and here on Warbird Radio when the show's going to happen so you can participate. Secondly, be sure and click on the Join Us in the Live Chat link under the Listen Live button here on Warbird Radio. And if you have any questions for our guests tonight, please post them in there. We'll be sure and get that on the air for you. I guess we're dealing with a few technical issues tonight. We're having some ISD issues with our bandwidth. So, if the stream stops, be patient, wait just a minute and it should start back up. If it doesn't, just simply, close the player and open it back up and hopefully, that'll get you taken care of. But that's just for tonight, because as of Thursday, we're having a fiber optic line going into the station, and it'll solve it. There you go. That's what I'm talking about. Well, enough about that. Let's get started with our guest. Dino, thank you for coming on the show, buddy.
Hey, Mike. It's glad to be back. It's been so long. Holy moly.
I know. That's what I'm talking about, man. It's you know, Matt had this whole thing about, you know, something about having a kid. I don't know what all that was about, but, you know, we had to take a little break, but it's great to be back live. And this is kind of our test show tonight. So you guys hang with
us. I'm glad I could be a part of your test show.
Well, you know, I wouldn't ask anyone else but you here for that.
That's right. I mean, if I get disconnected, it's no big deal.
Exactly. Hey, by the way, I want to send a shout out to our buddy Paco. He's listening tonight, Dino. He's in the chat.
Listening. He's probably eating Mexican food. That's what he does. No, he's a funny guy. You know, I go up there. It's like he can eat Mexican all he wants. He knows I don't eat Mexican. What'd you do? He gets me over his house, and the first thing he says is, "You want to go for Mexican?" You know, I was like, "How about Italian? What's wrong with Italian?"
There you go.
That's Paco. We love him. We love him, though, and he's a fabulous model.
We love you, Paco. We do. Well, let's get started, man. Let's start talking about Meister Scale. But before we do, guys, if you'd like to ask Dino a question tonight, we're going to do it a little bit different. We normally allow you to call in and ask your questions, but we're going to kind of try and limit it tonight since we're having stream issues. So if you would either go into the chat by clicking on Join Us in the Live Chat under the Listen Live button, you can ask your question there, or you can email us at live@rcskillbuilder.com and we'll get your question on that way.
Awesome.
Let's do it, man. So I tell you what, for the two people out there who don't know about Meister Scale, why don't you give us a little history of the company you know, how it got started and how it is today.
Sure. A little bit of the history of Meister Scale. Meister Scale was founded, I'm going to say, it was about 1974 by Jim Meister himself. And that's how Meister Scale came out, using his last name. Jim was a prolific designer and builder back in the 70s, 80s, and into the 90s. And so in 1974, he started a company. It was actually called Gemco, and it was a smaller scale, 60-size Warbirds, a nice line of them, you know, Focke-Wulf Zeros, B-51s, ME-109s, basically what we have today, but just a smaller scale. And it was actually competing with the Top Flight brand back then.
Okay.
And in the 80s, he himself and Dick Bernier, who worked alongside of Jim for throughout the duration of their friendship, and the companies being in business, they started the Master Scale series, which was basically only two airplanes. It was about 72 or 74 inch P-51 and an SPD Dauntless, and he sold many of those kits and basically sold the business to Dick Bernier, who ran it many years while Jim was still alive. And but everybody thought that Jim had owned it, but it was actually Dick who ran the business. So if you called Meister Scale, it was Dick. But Dick and Jim designed most of the airplanes currently to date, minus a few of them. So, but in April of 2005, I had the opportunity. I got a phone call from Dick Bernier and gave me first refusal, and basically purchased the business from Dick and have been running it since.
Gotcha, gotcha. Well, let's talk about exactly what Meister Scale sells today. Can you give us kind of a rundown on the various kits you guys have?
Yeah, I mean, currently we have basically many of the planes that Jim had designed when I took it over from Dick Bernier. We've got a sport scale, a very, very sport scale P-51, and a very, very sport scale Spitfire, which were very easy to build and not competition airplane. Now, Jim designed these airplanes, they started out in the 70s, and then he made them bigger and made changes. When I took over the company, most of the big planes were designed, approximately in the 90s. And, they were still never designed to be scale competition airplanes, but they were designed to be very easy to build and easy to fly. And that's pretty much what we've kept. I haven't deviated from Jim's designs, not one really currently to date. We've added a Platinum ME-109, which is one of the most scale ME-109 kits still on the market today, 100 inch wingspan. And that was purchased from Pat McCurry. So most of the planes, we have P-47, 102-inch, Focke-Wulf, 190A, which is a short nose, 190B, which is the long nose, and the Zero. And they're all around 100 inches to 118-inch wingspan.
Gotcha.
And, of course, there.
What kind of sets them, what sets a Meister kit apart from, the other ones that are out there?
What sets them apart is basically Jim's design of the airfoil. Jim designed the planes to look good, to fly outstanding, and the airfoil is basically almost a flat bottom, a modified airfoil. So most of the Meister planes are all the same, have the same type airfoil, which makes them easy to take off, easy to fly, and easy to land, and still have great scale outlines. And that's been the main point of the airplanes, and I will never change those designs. That doesn't mean that we're not going to go into other models with some different features, but I won't deviate that, because that's what sets us apart.
Yeah. Well, another thing that I've never built one of them, and I hope to build one someday soon, but one thing that I hear that's really nice about the kits is the wings are really easy to build and really easy to keep straight.
Yeah, because the typical design that Jim did is a flat bottom, so you build it on the table. I get calls from people and they want to know how to set this and how to set that. You just build it flat on the table. There's no washout. It's very simple, and straightforward. And if you build it off the plans, you'll have a great flying airplane. I mean, the plans are just a basic start. I mean, guys will install their equipment wherever they want. So, it's a basic guideline on how to frame up the airplane. But, you can have a wing built in two nights. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's talk about the flying part. One thing that everybody always says to me about Meister models when they see them is, they're like, I can't believe how freaking slow they're flying that thing.
Yeah.
It's just obviously it's a very docile model. And I've flown the D9, several D9s actually, yours and two other people's, and it's like it flies like a somewhat heavy sport plane, you know.
Yeah, I tell everybody it flies like a low wing cadet. Yeah, you know, it's just you know, they do. I mean, you know, when you get into the heavier planes, 50, 60 pounds, but they still fly very, very slow. And it's hard to, you know, unless I'm on the sticks and I can show somebody, you know, I watch people flying and I keep telling them, you can fly, let me show you, you can fly that thing a lot slower. Your landing approaches are too fast. You know, I'm not going to mention anybody's names, you know, Gary Mills or Gary Prince. But no, I mean, you know, you just got to get used to them, because people who've been flying other designs are used to having to come in at a faster pace. You know, but if you build it off of the plan, now I know that, you know, like Gary Mills has done a lot of work to, I mean, an astronomical amount of work to upscale his Corsair. And it's absolutely gorgeous. I'm trying to steal the plug from him for the fuselage, but he won't give it up. But because he changed the tail and the airfoil to make it more scale, which is great. So that changes a little bit. However, the wing is the wing. You know, I'm not sure how much he's done to that, but that wing makes it. That wing makes it. And they all fly very similar.
Yeah. Well, that's true. You know, a lot of people say, well, you know, I'm going to play devil's advocate here, because I want you to tell everyone what you say to people when they say this. They say, well, you know, those are nice looking planes, but, you know, I don't want a flat bottom airfoil.
Right. Well, and that's fine. And there's other options out there. So like when a customer calls me and says, hey, you know, I'm Steve. Okay. I'm interested in one of the planes. Can you tell me about it? The first thing I ask them are, what are your goals? Not that I'm nosy, okay, and I explain that to them, but I want to know their background and where they're going and what they're looking to achieve. Because if they're looking for a ultimate scale masters airplane or a Top Gun, high static winning airplane, okay, with some, you know, work, it can be achieved. However, out of the box, sort of say, you know, they're not for you. And I will tell them right up front, this may not be what you're looking for. If you're looking for a great looking airplane, a great flying airplane, an everyday flyer, then you've got the right place. So
that's a great answer. And I want to throw in there that if you walk up to one of these airplanes and you don't know it's a Meister, you will never know that the bottom of that airfoil is flat. Just look.
Right. Unless you crawl up under it. You know, even when you go to Top Gun, it's static. You know, from 10 or 15 feet away, the judges typically don't see that. I mean, we've had our P-47, the Top Gun, going through static many years ago. In fact, it was 1995 was the last time my dad and I entered together, you know, well, with the P-47. But we entered that plane at Top Gun, and it, you know, back then, the judging was just as crucial and harsh as it is now. But we static, I think it was a 93 or 94 static out of the box. And I'm telling you, absolutely no deviations. And anybody, you know, I've got the static score if you want to see it. But that just tells you that the outline is very good. Now, it may not be perfect, but then again, there's not too many perfect airplanes except for Grandmeers.
Right.
there's just a few, maybe a half handful. But, you know, that's, speaking of the P-47, the P-47 is going to make an appearance at Top Gun, next year for its 20-year anniversary for the first time.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Tell me about that. So is that the fifth scale one or the quarter scale one that you're taking?
The fifth scale. That is the 102-inch, the current kit. It was last at Top Gun flown in 95, and that was the last time it was flown. And it's been sitting, and, you know, up and down, but just don't fly. But, you know, it came to the point, you know, actually, it was Doug Smith, my buddy's down at Meisterland South, who said, you know what, we ought to do that. If it wasn't for Doug and his help, because, you know, he's helped tremendously, and the boys down there, you know, Tom Bucati and Alex and all the guys down there have helped get this project going and helping me refinish it. I mean, Doug's done, you know, 80% of the work right now. So You know, it sat for 20 years, so there's a lot of stuff that had to be done to it, redone.
Sure, sure. And by the way, Doug is an incredible modeler. I love seeing his models.
And you know, he's starting to put rivets on his planes. You know, he's Mr. Not Scale, but, you know, now he's got rivets, so we're breaking them in.
Well, hey, we got a question from the chat room. Jason Fair wants to know, what is the average takeoff landing distance compared to comparable models of the same size? Is there any difference there?
Well, you know what? That's a good question. That's an excellent question. I don't know if I have the right answer because as a scale guy, I will, like let's use a P-47. Like Republic Aviation said, you know, you build a plane and we'll build a runway to, you know, get it off the ground. So as a scale guy, I don't horse it off the ground. I do really long takeoffs. So I've never really gone full throttle, full flap, but you know, I don't know. I mean, maybe 200 feet, 150 feet. I mean, it all depends on the power and whatnot. But I mean, you know, with those big flaps, that plane will get off the ground very easily, especially if there's a headwind. You know, Doug can tell you, you know, he's had his plane lift off prematurely, because the plane is all lift. So, and I know that he was at an event this past weekend or so, or last week, where he was in a smaller field and he had his top flight P-47 because he thought that being smaller, it would be a better fit. And he told me, I got to tell you, and I mean, he could tell you, he said to me that the Meister was better because he could take off and land in shorter distance than his top flight.
Yeah. So. Well, I can understand that. That is a great question. Thanks, Jason.
Yeah.
Well, you know, along those lines, you know, a lot of the guys we run around with have or have owned, currently own or have owned your models, either the P-47, the D-9, the 190. And you know, it's just amazing to me. I kind of feel like the orphan child not having one because, it, you know. So although I did try to figure D-9 off of it once, you know. So,
you did. You had your opportunity.
Yes.
But Scott Dugan in Louisiana stopped that.
Yeah. So anyway, you know, one thing that, you know, talking to those guys about the planes, you know, I've never heard a negative comment about about a Meister model, you know. And I think that has a lot to do with the simplicity of the design and the great outline. You know, it's what else can you say? I mean, it's like your tagline is nothing flies like a Meister, and that's true. What do you think? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, what do you think? I mean, if you had to kind of make a bullet list as to what makes these model so successful, what would you include on that list?
Well, like I say, it sells itself. What sells it is not me. What sells it is the customers who own them and fly them. Because, you know, I tell everybody, don't ask me, because you know, yeah, I'm partial. I purchased the business because I believed in the product, not just because I knew Jim. I mean, the business could have gone to anybody. But, you know, when I had the opportunity, you know, the P-47 to me was one of my favorites. I mean, I'll never forget the first time that I flew one. And it, you know, it's just, it's a cosmic airplane. It's just an awesome, awesome design. And because of that wing, and that's, you know, Jim incorporated that design and the rest. You know, I get customers who call me and say, what's your best flying airplane? Well, I can't really give you an answer. They all fly similar because of their airflow. So it's basically down to personal preference. You know, American, German, Japanese, you know, so.
Well, there you go. And we got a couple of questions for you, too.
Okay.
Mark wants to know, how sport is sport scale on the Mustang? I can't find much info about the plans online.
Well, if you go to meisterscale.com and you just click on the P-51, it'll show you, you know, the accessories and some of the completed projects, which will show you the pictures. And by the pictures, you'll see that it's a sport scale model. I mean, the outline, it resembles a P-51, but it's really like a trainer. It's a beginner trainer plane for somebody who's just getting into, you know, larger airplanes on a budget. where you can use a small gas engine or an older Super Tiger, 3000 or, something similar like that. And, the gear's inexpensive for that type of plane, that you're not going into the dollar amounts that you can get up to with the other airplanes.
I got you. And another one, which, kind of leads into our next question I had for you. What new is going on at Meister? What do you have in the works, and or maybe what's been released recently?
Recently, I think that the last one that we were getting into was the Platinum Focke-Wulf 190A, which is the glass fuse in a redesigned wing, a thicker wing airfoil. So the glass fuse on the Platinum version, if you go on the website, there's two different versions. And it'll say Classic, which is the all wood, and the Platinum, which is the glass fuse version, because that fuse will not fit the Classic standard wing. Now, we did that because, the standard wing with the Sierra gear, if you mount it where Jim designed, which is one rib out further because of stability, it's very hard to fit. Even if you move it in, it's still hard to fit. You have to cut a hole in the top of the wing, which is okay because it actually fits underneath the fuse, so you don't see it. But a lot of guys don't want to have a hole, so we redesigned the wing to be thicker, and the gear fits in the wing without any problems. I think that was the first one that we were working on and released.
Gotcha.
And speaking of Germans, the 109, we have right now three versions. We're going to have four versions, and not that I want to, drive somebody crazy like my laser cutter, because that's easy to do. Patty's very easily, he gets muscle. But we have the 84 inch, the 100 inch. Now those are the standard designs from Jim, and they were all wood. Then we purchased the rights to the Platinum, which is all pretty much, built up wing but scaled fuselage. I get calls all the time. We like to have a fiberglass fuse for the 100-inch 109. And I'm with you. But, Mike Morecki, my glass guy, we discussed it in length and said, why do another glass fuse on a non-scale model when we already have the Platinum? So what we decided to do is morph the standard MU-109 airfoil wing, which will house the standard gear, not the, expended landing gear in the fuselage. So we'll make the standard wing two a Platinum fuselage. So you'll have the looks of the scaleness of the fuse, and you'll have the easy flying nature of the regular Meister 109. So that's what we're working on right now as well. So I think that's going to be a good hit. And there's lots. We're working on that, and we're very close to releasing the quarter scale P-47, which is 122 inch wingspan. We did flight testing with Jeff Nall in Louisiana, and I couldn't be more happier. I can't explain how ecstatic I am on how this airplane flies. I mean, those who own the 102 inch version, this is 100 times better, if that's possible.
Well, that's cool. Got a question. Are there any plans to offer a Platinum D9?
A Platinum D9?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, as far as we have the glass fuse for it, so as far as redesigning the wing and making another fuse, I don't think that's going to be in the cards right now. We're looking into a glass fuse for the Corsair, trying to get everything that we have currently with a glass fuse. That's my main goal. But we are, as you know, we are working on some new projects aside of the ones we just spoke about. We've got an 85-inch and 104-inch KI-61 Tony that we are working on currently. You've done some work for us on the big one. And, we're going to, that's going to be down the road as well soon.
Cool. Well, that's awesome. Folks, if you have a question for Dino, by all means, join us in the chat room. All you have to do is just over on the right side of the Warbird Radio website, there's a link that says join us in the live chat. hop in there, type your name in, and type your message and or question, and we'll be happy to get it to them. Hopefully, the next show we'll have the phone lines up. So we're just struggling with bandwidth tonight. So bear with us.
Those phone calls are always interesting.
Oh yeah,
because you never know. You never know who's going to get.
That's right. So if you'd like to do that, you can type a message in the chat, or you can email us at live@rcscalebuilder.com. We'll read the question on the air. I guess the next thing I wanted to ask you, we talked a little bit about new products. One thing that I'd like to ask you about is the quality of the kits and what's generally included with those. Can you touch on that a little bit?
Well, yeah, everything that's we have it on the website is a la carte. You know, everything is priced separately. There's really no full kit, because some guys start projects. They want to only work. They may buy a wing and a tail because that's all they want to do, and they may buy a fuse. They just want to work on a fuse because of finances. So everything is broken down separately. Now, that's a good question, and I really want to touch on that, because glass fuselages, I tell everybody, these are not ARF kits. Okay, right. They're not mass produced. They're not made in China. We have a process, and they're hand laid, and they're all made to order. Okay, so we don't have fuselages just lined up, ready to go. And so the orders, we always say 4 to 6 weeks, and that all depends on what is ordered and other vendors that I have to rely on in getting other products. So, but the fuselages are all laid up by hand. Now, I've had literally one complaint from a friend, and I'm not sure, we've sold hundreds and hundreds of kits. Now, most modelers know that these are not ARFs, and there is work to be done with them. There's little imperfections. It happens. I've never had a customer call me and say that he did not like it and he wanted a refund. Not one.
Right.
Any issues we work through, we stand by our product, but, nothing is perfect, and we're all human.
Sure.
So.
Sure. Well, that's
the kits on fiberglass, again, what's
that? I was just going to say, the interesting part about that is I don't know how many businesses could make that claim. So that tells you something about the quality of the kits themselves,
Yeah, we try. That's what I'm here for. I'm here to get planes flying. We want everybody to be happy. A customers call up and they place an order and they think that, they may think that we're holding their kits those who know us, and those new customers get to know us, and then they understand. And that's how you build the relationship and a friendship. The friendship is very important. Thousands of new people that I meet going all over to events, as you know.
Yeah, what's amazing to me is that today so many people think in this hobby that kit manufacturers, designers, whatever, stock this stuff. But economically, it's impossible to do that, for a small business, unless you're, unless your wealthy uncle left you a fortune. You just can't have all those things sitting around all the time costing you money,
Right. Everybody who knows me knows, we don't claim to be this big manufacturing operation. Well, I say I'm a one-man band, and, I say that jokingly. I have people that work with me, and, it's multiple, but, it's a very, very small business. It's not an ARF manufacturing facility, and we don't stock, container loads and stuff. Everything is made to order. Everything is made to order. Nothing is laying around. Nothing's getting warped. Everything is custom made. So...
Right. Okay. Well, cool. Well, I think that was a point that I really wanted to touch on tonight and to talk about.
Because, and that's a great question. Yeah.
Yeah. I think sometimes we forget in our quote Walmart unquote, mentality
right.
that that society's put us in today, that in this hobby, I would say 99.9 of the small businesses that you're dealing with, or it's a part-time business, and things are manufactured or created on demand as opposed to stocking. Stocking is a thing of the past. Even big, I can tell you, being a consultant of manufacturing processes, you know, that nobody stocks anymore. I mean, any manufacturer that is doing well generates things as they're needed, as opposed to leaving stock laying around. So,
even big companies.
That's right. Absolutely.
Yeah, even big companies, big yep. RC companies. You know, you may think that you can call up, XXX landing gear company, and there's 50 gears on the shelf waiting to be sold. Let me tell you, I don't care what company you call, that's not the case.
That's right. That's right. So that's called just-in-time manufacturing, and that's pretty common these days. But yeah. It's so funny because as consumers, we're bombarded with going to Walmart and getting whatever we need in 5 minutes, but we forget that, most of these specialty items are not that way. A majority of them are not, so.
Correct.
Okay. Well, super. Correct. Well, I think we're going to take a break maybe for commercials. Let me check with Matt here and see if we want to take a little break. And,
yes, Mike. Yes, we'll... we can take a break.
Okay, super, super. I didn't know if you were, potty training tonight or not.
Josh says we can take a break. We can take a break.
You can take a break. And I'm standing right here with your potty training lesson that's ready to go on YouTube. So,
all right,
you just let me know. Wasn't that what you were doing? Wasn't that what you were doing when you were sitting down in the chair like a few days ago or whatever that was, and somebody threw some water on you? Wasn't that what you were doing?
Man,
was that something else?
That was painful.
That was something that was else. Painful. Yeah. I don't remember really what that was. But anyhow. All right, cool.
Take a break. Well, look, folks, we're going to take a break, and we'll be back in just a few minutes. We're going to continue talking to Dino. We got some more things to talk to him about. So stick around. And if you're listening to the stream, thanks so much for hanging with us. We promise you it's going to get better. But hang in there, and we'll be back right after these messages.
Live from Washington, D.C., this is Warbird Radio.
Meet Miss Evelyn. She's been eating Tommy's hot dog salad for years. In fact, she's the one who invented it.
Well, my daddy was a coal miner way back when, and he used to tell me, he'd say, "Evelyn, darling, I want something that'll last me from lunchtime all the way to breakfast time because your mom is cooking so bad." So one morning I woke up and I made daddy some famous hot dog salad that I'd learned how to make back in high school. And he said, "Well, Daddy, darling, what's this?" And I said, "Well, Daddy, it's Evelyn's hot dog salad." He said, "Evelyn, nobody wants nothing named after a fat girl. That just sounds awful, Evelyn's hot dog salad." I said, "Well, Daddy, we'll call it Tommy's hot dog salad, named after him, Tommy." And it just caught on. People just said, "What's that? It's just so good." And I said, "Well, it's Tommy's hot dog salad."
Try a fresh hot bowl of Tommy's hot dog salad tonight. It's available in two flavors, El Tommy Tom Tom Fiesta and our traditional Tommy's Choice, both made with pure 100% hot dog meat. Try a bowl today, and you'll be saying,
"It's just so good."
We're so close to the Pentagon, sometimes they ask us to get the coffee. This is Warbird Radio.
You are listening to the RC Scale Builder Show on Warbird Radio. Now here is your host, Mike Chilson.
And welcome back to the RC Scale Builder Show. Isn't that a sexy voice? Golly. We're here with our good friend, Dino DiGiorgio, talking about Meister Scale and all things in the hobby. And we've talked a lot about Meister, and there's some other things I want to talk to you about tonight. We've got a little bit of time, so I want to try and hit on these. The first thing that maybe a lot of people don't understand that I wish maybe you could explain to them is, what is the relationship between Meister Scale and Aero Accessories?
Arrow Accessories was a small internet company that I started before I took over Meisterscale when I moved down to Florida from New Jersey. Basically, I started Arrow Accessories because of the, I guess, we had a lot of questions on our P-51 that my good friend Bill Stivic had built back in, I think it was 98 for Top Gun. And it was a Comp R P-51, and he made a lot of, I must say a lot, he made a few special molds for enhancing, you know, accessories for that plane. And, you know, basically that's how I started Aero Accessories. It was just a small company based on airplane accessories. And we've added, you know, multiple items to that company. And it's basically, it's us, it's Meister, but I've decided to keep it a side of Meister. And in the future, maybe we will merge that together somehow.
I got you. Okay. Well, that's a good description of what's going on there. Let's talk about Top Gun a little bit.
Oh, boy.
You know I was going to bring this up tonight.
What the hell happened? No.
Yeah. I would like to know, I would like to get your impression of Top Gun 2014 and maybe share with folks who weren't able to attend what it was like.
You needed a wetsuit. It was, I'm going to say this loosely, it was biblical rainfall for the area of Lakeland, Florida and Top Gun. I've been competing since 92, and yeah, we've had rain. Florida rain is, you know, maybe 15 minutes, and then it goes. But it rained. I mean, it rained, you know, 5 out of the 7 days. I mean, it rained. It didn't stop. I mean, it was horrific. It was just a bad thing for Top Gun, for Frank. I feel bad, you know, but you can't help Mother Nature. And, you know, we all pulled together and, you know, finished Top Gun, not the way anybody wanted to. I mean, it was basically only, you know, 1 or 2 days of actual flight competition. And for, you know, like Keen Masters and Expert and Unlimited, or it was, I think, one flight. So it was your best 1 out of 1. So, you know, if you had a problem, you had a problem. I mean, there was no leeway. There was no give. It was, you know, it was just a shame. But, you know, that's what are you going to do?
Yeah.
So, but, you can prepare your airplanes. You can prepare your airplanes all you want. And we've spoken about that. But I, living in Florida, never even planned. I mean, everybody was at Walmart looking for boots, water boots. I mean, it was, you know, 5, 6, 7 inches or more in certain spots. It was crazy.
Right. It was pretty wild. I got to go this year and got to hang out with you guys, and that was a real pleasure, by the way. Thank you for letting me stay with you guys. And all I can say is a lot of people took advantage of the rain and indulged quite a bit in alcoholic beverages. I'm not naming any names, but
well, you can't name me. I mean, you know, but I mean, you can. You might be lying, but no names. Yeah, I mean, listen, we have, you know, when that happened, that was great for Warbird Alley. You know, PJ and Doug and all the guys, you know, they get that thing going, and it just becomes a big party. I mean, what else are you going to do but the party? You can't do anything else about it. I mean, we made the best that we could, and you know, we all competed, and some won and some didn't. I mean, you know, that's it.
Yeah. And you, would you like to tell folks how you placed this year?
Well, I placed second, which wasn't bad. I borrowed a friend of mine, Heinz's Corsair, as you know, and we literally didn't have a lot of flight time on it. And I'm not worried about plane flying. All I need to do is get it up and trim it, and I'm okay. But we had a lot of engine issues and prop issues, and, you know, we were really behind it. We just ran out of time. I mean, it was just prepping that I encouraged that bit me in the butt. But, you know, the plane survived, and it did very well. And, you know, we were fighting some CG issues, and, you know, that's just the nature of the beast. But I couldn't have been beaten up by a better guy. I mean, Mike Barbie flew his Cub, and he flew it very well. I mean, you know, it's just the way it goes. My first round was a zero because I couldn't get the plane off the ground because we had prop issues. So, you know, that whole round was blown out. You know, had that be a better round, things may have been different. That's Top Gun. I mean, it is nobody's fault but your own. I don't put any blame on the airplane or it's just preparation. And even if you prepare, you still things happen. But Mike whooped my butt with a Piper Cub. That's all there is to it.
It's a humbling experience, isn't it?
Well, it's not the first and it won't be the last. I mean, you know, you can't win all the time. But I couldn't have been beaten by a better guy. I mean, Mike and I have been competing for years, and he's a fantastic pilot. And, you know, I think that plane, I may be wrong, but I think that John Boyko told that plane is like 12 years old. You know, you know your airplane. You know, even though I've flown Corsairs before, everyone flies a little bit different. So, you know, there's lack of preparation. But, you know, hopefully I think we might come back with it. Next year, I may go in two classes, so I think we'll fly that again.
Yeah. Got a question here from our buddy Pedro. He wants to know if any Meister models will be competing in Top Gun 2015 that you know about.
Any other ones beside of the one that I plan on bringing? Is that the question?
Yes.
I don't have, no, you know, I usually don't know, unless there's a customer that calls and say, hey, Dino, I need a canopy or a cowl. I screwed something up. I'm going to Top Gun and, you know, I need the parts. Otherwise, I really don't know until I get there. I know Gary Mills, I don't know what he's doing with his Corsair. If, I know he had an accident with it. If, you know, what he plans on doing with it, I don't know. I'm trying to see if I can get Jeff Nall to bring the quarter scale P-47 and have it flown and throw. So, but no, I really don't know of any off the top of my head. If I do, I'm forgetting it, which is bad.
Well, hey, wait a minute. What is Paco bringing next year?
So I don't know. He still has his car. You know, he had an accident with his Meister.
Didn't hear about that.
Yeah, it was the year before last. I think it was the year before this past year. He lost his P-47.
Wow,
so, that sucks. And then he built the CARF, and I know he loves the CARF. You know, but it's just funny. He called me up and said, "Yo, Dino, I really should have. I could have bought two Meisters for that one CARF." And I was like, "Well." But, you know, I mean, it's a lot of money in it. And there's a lot of money in all of them. You know, cause I don't know. He hasn't purchased anything. I thought that, you know, the big 47 would tickle his fancy, and you never know with Pedro. Never know.
Well, he says he's not sure what he's competing with this next year, so we'll have to wait and see.
Well, he's another guy that his, you know, gobs of talent, and I don't know where he gets the time from, because I know he does work his butt off. You know, he works on like five projects, and, you know, Heinz and I have a bunch of projects going on right now as well. We've got a 118-inch Zerola B-25 that we're finishing for Brian O'Mara, he's also still working on his Corsair doing tweaks. And we're working on a 112-inch T28 Trojan for the new Pegasus 200cc, AS200cc engine, which is a 9-cylinder radio that we just became a dealer for. And it's a gem of an engine. So I'm hoping that we can squeeze that into the T28 for maybe 2016.
Gotcha. Well, you know, what kills me about Pedro is that, you know, I am the proverbial hobbyist. You know, I just... You know, when I get a little free time, I go down there and work, and it kills me. I've never seen anyone who can turn an airplane out like him and run a business all day. It's not just work a full-time job and run a business and have a family, you know.
And not to mention the quality that the man produces.
Absolutely. Well, here's my theory about that. Would you like to hear it?
I'm ready.
I think he's a vampire. I think he doesn't sleep.
A Mexican vampire. Well, I guess,
Mexican vampire.
What
was it? What do they call that thing?
Chupacabra. No.
Chupacabra. That's what he is. He's a chupacabra.
That's his new nickname.
I think that sticks, don't you? Chupacabra.
Yeah.
Well, look, I appreciate you coming on. I want to tell you something. You know, there's a lot of people who I've met in this hobby that, you know, I just really enjoy being around. 99% of the people I do. But, you know, when we are able to get together and have fun, it's always a blast. And, you know, we
absolutely
got a good group of folks we hang around, and everybody's a gentleman and good guys. So, you know, I can't thank you enough for making my hobby as great as it is. And 99% of my hobby is all you guys. So,
it's a two-way street, man. It works both ways. I appreciate your friendship and everybody out there. Cause that's what it's really about. I mean, you know, that's what brings me back to the memories when I was growing up, and, you know, it was all about, camaraderie. So
that's right. Even though Chupacabra, you know, he's
You are listening to the RC Scale Builder Show on Warbird Radio. Now here is your host, Mike Chilson.
Yeah, Mike is indisposed right now. Let's see there. Mike, are you back now with us, I think?
Georgia with Meister Scale and Aero Accessories.
Yeah, Mike, hang on a second, Mike. You know, this is bound to happen. It was just bound to happen. Never happens when you're testing it, Mike. But I don't know, Dino's phone is not answering right now. But let's check in with Mike. Mike's still sitting here. Mike, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
I knew that was going to happen.
It had to happen, right?
It had to happen. I'll tell you what, poor Dino, we'll have to get him back on. If that lasted any longer, though, I was going to play Can You Feel the Love tonight.
Well, you know, I was feeling the love.
I thought you were.
And I won't tell this to anyone, but if anyone who is on Facebook is friends with Dino or myself, there's a picture of me kissing Dino on the cheek.
Oh, God. You know? Here we go.
You know,
it's
a man kind of love.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, hey, look, that was a great interview, though. What?
You did a great job, Mike. It was like you've done this before.
Once or twice.
I'll tell you what, I got to hand it to you. Whatever you had, you have the golden touch, man. I was just falling on the samurai continuously on Warbird Radio Live, but you held it off, Mike.
Well, we got lucky and a few people dropped out, but they came back in. So
it's
all
drying weird out there. Yeah, I'm not kidding you. The thunderstorm hit at like 7:08, and I thought it wouldn't dare. And then all of a sudden, the rain came, and I, you know, what are you going to do?
Right.
What are you going to do?
That's right. Well, hey, I got a little bit of site news and some info about some upcoming events we can go over real quick.
What's going on RC Scale Builder these days?
Well, big thing right now is kind of the end of summer, and everyone is all the mods and admins we're kind of going through and cleaning up the site. And I kind of wanted to explain this a little bit for people listening, what we do. A lot of times, you know, as people create these threads, you know, a lot of people come in and say, hey, man, you're doing a great job. Keep up the good work. And, you know, and that's great, and that's what we want. But when someone comes in after the fact, when all of this is done and starts reading it, it makes it really difficult to read. So what we'll do is we'll come to a thread, and let's say your thread is 50 pages long. We may go up to about page 40 and clean up all the attaboys and all that kind of stuff. So when people come through and read, it's a nice flow of what's going on with the project. So, anyway, that's going on right now. So if you see your post count going down, that's why.
I'm back to zero now because of that, probably. So
that's right. And this month we have this awesome walk around of a Sversky P-35.
Say that again. A what?
Sversky.
Sversky
P-35. Sversky P-35.
Is that built in Alabama?
That is.
That's what I thought.
And it's our buddy Ben Icarus took a nice walk around for us up at the Air Force Museum. And it's a big, fantastic model.
That's the big
love
three
to see one of these models. You know, it's such an unusual airplane. Yeah.
Big three-engine airplane, right?
No, it's a single engine.
Ah, see, I knew that. I was just messing with you.
Yeah, yeah. And also our good buddy Jerry Yarish, the technical editor of Model Airplane News, he's donated a couple of new tutorials for us, and those are up in the tutorial section. And last but not least, for unless you've been under a rock or something, and I don't know if you knew this, Matt, because you're not that active in the hobby anymore, the IMAA is shutting down.
I heard that, and really incredible to see that. I heard the last IMAA Rally of the Giants was at my old field down there at Bomber Field in outside of Monaville, Texas.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
You know, it's an end of an era. It really is. And I don't know how I feel about that.
Well, you know, I've been thinking about this. And, you know, the IMAA, I think they did a wonderful job bringing giant scale models to the forefront of the hobby. That, you know, a lot of R&D, a lot of
absolutely
pushing. And,
yeah, those high flight magazines now, man.
Yeah, and encouraging people to build these big planes. And now it's pretty much mainstream. So, you know, I guess in a way they've almost served their purpose, and I guess they maybe had a hard time finding their way to find another purpose.
Right.
And so I guess that's why their membership was down so much. But it was a good era with them, and you know, they were a huge contributor to the hobby, and we hate to see them go away. But, you know, that's the way it goes sometimes, unfortunately.
I heard something really interesting. We need to do a show on this because I know this is right up your bag of tricks. I was talking to some friends of mine who were working an air show the other day, and they ran across an issue with the FAA and how the FAA is viewing model airplanes.
Oh yeah,
and how you can get if you get paid to fly a demonstration with a model airplane, it has to have an N number now, which has never been the case before. That I'm aware of. And the interesting stuff going on regulatory-wise. We need to have the FAA on, and we need to have you on.
AMA. Yeah, we need to get the AMA on here. And they're actually deep in the middle of that. And a good buddy of mine who's
– You have a lot of good buddies.
Yeah.
You mentioned like six.
He's actually on the FAA side of that issue. And because he's a modeler –
yeah.
He's been called in as kind of an advisor on that committee. So it's interesting to hear both sides. I mean, they both have some valid arguments. And I think, you know, reality is going to be somewhere in the middle of.
Well, I say we do that show here real soon, and we have Jerry Bates on just to add some color to it.
I think if we had Jerry on,
he'd take us to school.
Words out of him.
Oh, yeah. He'd take us right to school. It'd be fun. It'd be a lot of fun.
That's right. That's right.
You know, I want to throw this out because it was last year, I guess. Was it last year? No, my goodness, the time has flown. It was not last year, but I drove down to Houston to say goodbye to a good friend of ours. We have not been on since. I believe Ron passed away. But Ron Berg, a familiar voice to this show, is no longer with us and took his final flight west. But a truly veteran of the Air Force and an all-around great guy. I heard him on the rebroadcast of one of the shows, and it just, you know, we don't realize just how fragile this life is and how we have to cherish those relationships and friendships. So I'm glad to hear you say you have a lot of good buddies, and I know you do.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they're all coming on this show, and that's the main reason that we decided, you and I, after a lot of discussion, to bring the live channel back was really because of the community aspect. And I'm just looking at all the viewers out there or listeners out there tonight who have been abused by the stream tonight. My goodness. Oh gosh.
Well, all I've got to say about that is
they hung in there with
it. Says something about how much they want to have this type of show because they're still listening.
That's right. So, that's right.
Even after all that. So
and it's going to be really, really great and I look forward to seeing more from you next month. Who's on the show next month? Can you divulge anything yet, or you want to keep it close hold?
No, I think we're going to try and do, if we can get a few things worked out, we're going to try and do a Down Under episode. We need to do one of those. We haven't done one in a while. And get our buddies on from Down Under and hear what they're working on. And hopefully after that one, maybe we can get somebody from the AMA on to talk about what's going on with the FAA. So we got a lot of shows we can do, you know?
Yeah. Well, now you called me out for not being in the hobby that much. I want you to know I still have my Park Zone P-51 that I'm flying, but I am going to pass it on in just another week or two. I'm going to hand it over to a young boy that comes out to the airport and likes to fly and hang out with his dad. So I'm going to give it to him and let him get it going on his own radio, and he's going to start flying. And this father of his, he and I used to work together way back when I was just starting out in the broadcast world, and I was a disc jockey for a local country station, and then went to work at the world famous, are you ready for this, the largest Texas honky-tonk between Houston and Dallas. You know the name of it? No, you don't know the name of it, Mike, because you listen to rap. But it was called Shenanigans, and it's owned by a friend of mine, Daryl Tarvin, who still flies with us today. And John and I worked there. We even worked together in the hobby business for a while, but a long friendship, and he's up here now. So I'm going to give it to his boy.
Oh, well, good.
And
good.
This year,
you got a young one coming.
Yeah,
up, so
I do, but I don't know what I'm going to build this year. Yeah, I don't know what I'm going to build this year. But I am planning to do my annual gingerbread house build on RC Scale Builder this year. And Mike Barbie's going to pour the concrete for it. It's going to be great.
That's right.
It's going to be wonderful.
Hey, look, just a couple of quick things before we wrap up. I know it's time to go, but real quickly, Warbirds over Tulsa, September 6th. Dawn Patrol, Golden Edge Flying in Hemet, California, September 6th. Warbirds over the Rockies, September 12th through the 14th in Denver.
Go see
Warbirds over Alabama, September 26th and 27th, yeah. Clanton, Alabama. And I'll post these on the site, on the show info, so if you want to check those out.
How far from east of Boga, Alabama, is Clanton? Because I've been down there.
Clanton is just north of Montgomery.
You didn't answer my question. How far is that from east of Boga?
Well, let's see. It's about
he's not going to say. I just want to. We all want to hear you say east of Boga, Alabama, like Greg Koontz does.
You say it the way it's supposed to be said.
Say it.
East Boga, Alabama.
All right. Are you going to the Waffle House now? Are you on your way?
No, I don't do the Waffle House.
Yeah. That's what you always say.
That's your. Hey, look, I got a question for you.
Okay.
While we're on live on the air, before we go, I'm going to call you out on something because
you're breaking up, Mike.
Bucket challenge, and I challenged you.
You're breaking up.
Yeah.
You're breaking up.
Yeah, sure I am.
I paid the money.
I challenged you.
I paid the money.
You did not do it.
I paid the money.
I paid the money. You know, that's great. I'm glad you did.
The guy died. Who
I know.
Who did that?
I appreciate you donating money to that.
Right?
But, you know, it was worth it to me to see your hair messed up.
Oh, my goodness. Really?
Because we all know about your hair. Okay.
Here we go again. Off the high ropes. This gal that you got to do this, what did you have to pay her?
Oh, millions and millions of dollars.
That's what I thought. All right. Well, we'll get back into that next week in your ALS Ice Bucket Challenge. So.
All right, folks. Thanks for listening in tonight. It was a lot of fun. Welcome back, everybody. Be sure to join us for our next show. It'll probably be in about a month, I guess. But tune in every Tuesday night here on Warbird Radio for a new, different show. Listen to Matt talk about potty training.
There you go. Bye, Mike.
Good night, everybody.